Hallelujah.
No, I heard a testimony this week, and I need to apologize to you guys before I get started. So I had some coffee this morning. I didn't think I was going to say anything, but I asked the Lord, and He laid something on my heart. And someone asked me when I came in, "You going to minister?" I said, "No." And so I apologize for saying that. What God gave me, I'm just telling you, I can't hold it in.
Yeah.
I heard a testimony this week, and it was about a man named Adolf Coors.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the Coors Brewing Company in Denver, Colorado. His grandfather, his great-grandfather, and maybe it was, yeah, it was his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, sorry, 15 years old and lost both of his parents and stowed away on a ship and came to America. Had 7 cents to his name. And the Lord, the Lord didn't have anything to do with it, but he ended up in Colorado and found out the water coming down. He was a brewer by trade. At 15 years old, he'd learned how to be a brewer. So they started a company, him and another guy, but they had terrible stuff because Prohibition came along in 1914, 1920. All the Depression had hit and stuff was going on. His great-great-grandfather took his life because he said that... His grandfather was focusing on what he was, not what God could make him. I'm going to tell you something, you guys. We don't love one another because of who they are.
Yeah.
Listen to me, please. I know God laid some stuff on my heart, and I just can't get it off.
Yeah.
We love each other because of who they're going to be. The truth really is when every kid comes to my house... Everybody else had told them that they're nobody and they can't make it.
Right.
And they were a problem because they didn't understand a lot of stuff, but no one had ever taught them the stuff they needed to know.
Yeah.
But if I looked at them for who they were, then I'm telling you something. I wouldn't have loved staying there.
Yeah.
But if I knew and I told them day in and day out, Draven's here, he can tell you. I'm not here because I'm a good parent. I'm here because there's a power that could take a corrupt, vile, no good for nothing, worthless man and turn his life around and put the most valuable thing in this universe inside his being. And it's the presence of the living God of Israel. And if he can change me, he can change anybody. So the only reason God brought me here was to introduce you to somebody that can change all the brokenness and the lies and deceptions that have happened to you up to this day. And he's going to make something incredible with your life. Trust me, or he wouldn't have brought you here. So the truth really is every one of us today need to understand something. We don't love people for who they are today. And I'm telling you, you're lovable just the way you are. Don't get me wrong. I love you guys, and I felt your prayers. I felt everything that God's done in my life because of you praying and doing what He's done. Those tough times laying down at night and in Kearney or anywhere, and then just know that the body's praying for you. Just start praising God and thanking God. Listen, God, this thing's going to turn out all right, not because of who I am or not because of what's going on here. It's because of what the power of God can do in the midst of a trial of circumstances. And He's not brought us to any place that He's not already made a way of escape. Amen? But this man talked in his testimony. His dad was 47 years old, and a guy had gotten broke out of prison in California. He was a murderer, a real vicious murderer, and he stalked. He came to Colorado, and for some reason wanted to destroy this man. The guy that was giving the testimony, it was his dad. So at 47 years old, this guy on a Sunday morning thought he was going to stop and help a stranded motorist. And it was the guy from prison, and he put his dad in a trunk and took him out in the country. And for 7 months, this guy said he just no one knew where his dad was at or anything. And then they found the bones just a few miles from their home on a field, a farmer did. But he talked about all the struggles and everything he went through. And he said when he became a teenager, and this is what I want to tell you. When he became a teenager, he said all of his family... wanted to send him to college, wanted him to be a great athlete guy, and wanted him to excel in a lot of things. And so everything was about the physical realm. And he said one thing, he said, they never did tell me, not one person in my family never told me, that if I would gain the whole world and lose my soul, what would I have? He says, that's what I really wished my entire family would have told me about. And so I'm telling you something today.
He started his testimony about, and I know you, some of you guys have probably heard this, but he started it by saying there was two ships in the fog one night. And what they thought to be ships. And the one ship was coming, it was a tanker, and it was coming, and it was in the fog, could see the light in the distance. So he sent a signal, and he says, change your course 10 degrees to the east. Have you heard this, brother? The message came back, you change your course 10 degrees to the west. This went on for a little bit, and finally the captain of the ship got so angry because he says, listen, I'm a captain of a tanker ship. I have 50,000 pounds or whatever it was in this ship, and I order you to change your course. And he said a simple message came back. This is a lighthouse. I suggest you change your course. But you know something?
Yeah.
Every one of us are just like that.
Yeah.
We're wanting something else to change.
Yeah.
If the truth be known, we're wanting something else to change. We don't want to change.
Yeah.
We're wanting everything, all of our circumstances, people to change. It'll be right in my marriage if my wife changes. It'll be right in my marriage if my husband changes. It'll be right if my kids do what I... Everything will be right.
Yeah.
That's not what God intended from the beginning of time. His goal is to get you to change. So, and Ron was talking about that this morning. I didn't know anything was said, but listen. I want to read here in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh, sorry, bro. Well, I trust the Lord this only takes a minute. Well, I really feel like it's important to read this. And I felt like it was important to talk about we need a change. All of us need a change today. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. And what I want, and you guys, it's like Rachel was talking about, when you find out what God does, when He takes away the things in our life that would hurt us or hurt others. And then you start seeing what will happen with the change that God makes in our heart, in our life. You start realizing, man, what else would I need in my world but the power of God to change me and to do what He's wanting in my life. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't want anything but what He wants. Listen, when the Apostle Paul told us and put in the Word of God, the Corinthians, that we are not our own. What in that part ever makes us our own? We can't be our own. We were bought with an unbelievably amazing price that cost Him so much. Why would we think it wouldn't cost us anything? I'm just telling you. So anyway, okay. Chapter 13, and I'm going to start with verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came into Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue of the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law, the prophets and the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So in this 15th verse, the reading of the law and the prophets and the rulers of the synagogue, the reading of the law and the prophets, and then the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any exhortation of the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give guidance. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out. And about the time of 40 years suffered He their manners in the wilderness, and when He had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, He divided their land by them by lot. And after that, He gave unto them... Just a second, I got it. And after that, He gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years, and when He had removed him, He raised him up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And so, which shall fulfill all my will. And if that isn't a scripture, we could just stop and spend some time on that. It'd be a real blessing this morning. But I want to tell you something. Let's go on. Because Paul's bringing these guys' attention to something that just did. They were just reading the word and the law of the prophets, right? And of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices. Now listen, this is what I wanted to read. Paul's bringing it up. They just got done reading the words of the prophet and of the law, right? So here Paul's bringing, he's bringing their attention back to what's just happened, right? Am I right? For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets. Man, you guys, when I read this the other day, I said to man, who would not? Who would not listen to a prophet? Who would not listen? I started thinking of Ahab and different ones that called Elijah his enemy. Because God had told him, look, I'm trying to turn your heart and your life. And would to God, I promise you, Ahab wished. I tell you, I guarantee you what through him went his mind after he had been shot with an arrow that day laying against that chariot. Thinking back over the course of his life, thinking, man, had to God, I would have listened to that prophet. Had to God through that time that God loved me enough to send a famine and that I couldn't drink physically. I just had a dry mouth and I watched everything dying around me. Then I realized that death was of the world and death was of the things of the world. But God brings life. And if I would have just heeded and remembered back what Deuteronomy told me, if I honor him, he'll bless me. But if I don't, he'll have to curse the things that's going on because I can't leave you to yourself. Amen. So here's this thing that's going on between Paul, and he's just trying to tell him, listen, you guys, they didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't listen to what the prophets said. They didn't hear what God told men through the word of a prophet by what he said. You guys, I'm telling you something. We have been so richly blessed by what God spoke to our heart. And over those meetings of the revival, we have just been touched by God's voice speaking to our heart individually. It isn't just coming in and hearing a word, that's individual too. But he loved us enough to speak to us individually to tell you, this is where you're at. This is why I love you. This is why I shed my blood. It's why I care so much about you. It's the purpose and the plan I've had for you all along is to come to this place where you're at so that you can keep trusting me more and more every day with the things that you can commit them to me because I'm trustworthy. You guys, that's what we're learning more about every day in our life. So listen, he says that him he knew not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. Listen, you guys, you can come in here. We can come in here and we can leave. But if we don't come in here with an open heart and telling God whatever you have to tell me and whatever you want in my life, I am yielded. I am surrendered. I am just exactly where you want me to be. I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't want to just be a hearer, right? I want to do what he says. And for me to do it, I have to be obedient to his voice. When he tells me something, I have to just do it. And yeah, I've messed up. I've messed up a lot. If anybody in here has messed up, I've messed up a lot. But I just have to keep coming back to him because I have nowhere else to go. Don't you think that that's exactly why he told Peter, listen, I'm going to tell you something. That Satan has tried to sift you as wheat. But let me tell you something, not a prayer of mine has ever failed. Not one prayer of mine has ever failed. So if the enemy is telling somebody in this place that you're going to fail, the same God is praying for you. And the thing about it, when we go through the struggles and the problems, just like Peter went through, Jesus says, listen, Peter, there's one thing you're going to be able to do after this trial's over with and the things that's going on in your life. You are going to be able to strengthen your brother. And I'm here to tell you guys today, what more would we want than to find some brother that's weak? week and grab a hold of him and say, hey, I'm here to pick you up. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to care for you. I'm here to stand in your corner because God sent me to this place and I've got a lot of things going on. But I tell you, somebody has to reach over. Somebody's got to reach over to your foot because you're laying in a bed and they put a spinal tap in my back and I couldn't feel my feet. And I'm telling you something, after they've drugged you up with that morphine, and I told them to quit, give me morphine, because it just does something to me. And so when I started getting really anxious, and you're paralyzed below your waist, and so you're just laying in this bed. Ron sat at the bed, foot of my bed praying. And then he watched a nurse come in. She says, can you feel this? And Ron would be praying. And he just reached over and he says, Fred, can you feel that? And you know, there's something about somebody being there to strengthen your brethren that you can't explain. I'm here to tell you this morning, you want to be somewhere, get down to the bottom of everything in your life to where you are. Surrender to the power of God, the Spirit of God, and then He starts bringing you to a place of realization. You cannot walk by somebody hurt no more. You can't walk by the people that are hurting. You can't walk by those people. In fact, you start identifying with them so much because your mind goes back to that day where somebody's sitting there rubbing your foot saying, Fred, can you feel this? I say, no, Ron, I can't pray. And he'd start praying again and the peace of God would fall all over me. I was in such a struggle. Brother Frank McEnroy came that day. Did you go out and tell him or something? I don't know. But Brother Frank and I said, man, I just can't see him today, Ron. I got all this on my mind that's going on. You know, my foot and the struggles of just laying here and feeling paralyzed. Because it's a horrible feeling. I couldn't move my feet. I couldn't do nothing. And, you know, you're already banged up and gone through the emotional struggle of all the stuff that you've been through in the past several days. And then all of a sudden you're just laying here still. And you can't move. And it's like, for a guy like myself, that's difficult anyway, right? So, but that's what happens. Somebody's been through something. They're not leaving when everybody else leaves, right? So I praise God. But they listen to the voice of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning them. They read them. They were read every Sabbath day. But they fulfilled the very prophecies that God sent by condemning him and putting him on that cross. If they would have asked God to open up their hearing, if they would have asked God to open up their heart to feel what God wanted in their life, if they had went past themselves just one speck, I got a feeling, you guys, if you had went past themselves one speck, God would have just opened their heart's door wide open and come in and revealed to them what they were doing and what they were about to do. But they fulfilled. How would you like this prophecy about you? How would you like this word? And here he said it in the people that did it. Wouldn't you just fall flat out? Wouldn't you just crumble? Wouldn't you just surrender? Wouldn't you just yield? I don't know you guys, but I feel that I have to today. I can't read this word without just feeling God just saying, hey, listen, I'm not just here to listen to what the power of God's saying. I want to experience the power of God. I want the power of God to move through me. I want the power of God to live like me, like He did 2019 years ago and 18 years ago and 17 years ago. When He walked, I want an extension of His love and mercy and grace to flow through this vessel so that the world will behold the Lamb of God. Amen. So I'm here to tell you, and though they found no cause, listen, you guys, they found no cause of death in him. You see the difference to what hatred and anger and vileness and envy and strife will do? James tells us that every evil work is where envy and strife is at. Listen, I'm here to tell you. So they found no death. They found no reason of death in him. You know what happened, don't you? Yet delivered, desired that Pilate, that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. We declare unto you glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers. Listen, I'm going to read that again, okay? And we declare unto you glad tidings. There's a reason to be glad this morning. And I want to tell each and every one of you guys, there is a reason to be glad this morning. What God's Word does to us every time we hear it, it doesn't matter if it tells us, look, you're going to go through a difficult time. You're going to go through a struggle. You're going to go through things. But it's these things that's making you and molding you to be what I've called you to be and ordained you to be. Because you guys, most of the time, if we were just going through down Easy Street, strolling down Easy Street, roses on every side, no problems in our life, what would we tell somebody? When we came up to them with a struggle in their heart, and they look at you and they say, my wife just left me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my kids. I don't know what to do with my heart. I don't know what to do with my home. I don't know. A lot of you have been to that place in your life, and you've been through it, and you've experienced. But when you hear of anybody saying, man, the wife just left, the husband just left, all of a sudden your heart can't go any farther without saying, God, please touch them. God, whatever you do, touch them, touch their kids. This is a struggle, but just not one person goes through, but a lot of people go through. The kids go through it. The parents go through it. The relatives go through it. The people that you work with go through it. Everybody around you will go through it. So God, please, in every area of their life and the things they're going through, touch them. Let the Spirit of God. And you know what? Had you have not gone through that, would somebody be asking God to change that particular person? In fact, maybe that's why that particular person that you didn't even like or love or care about, he's not what you want him to be, but you're still loving him because you know what he's going to become in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the Father, God hath fulfilled. He fulfilled the promise through everything that was happened. Yeah. The same us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, on this wise I will give you the sure mercies of David. Hasn't he done that for every one of us? He sure has. He's done it for every one of us. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Everything you've done. You know, I've often thought to myself, I know in the Bible the caption says that the woman that was caught in adultery, But that caption really could read in our Bible, every man that had a rock was caught in adultery. Because Jesus just asked him, listen, if you have no sin in your life, go ahead. And what's sad to me, all the men left. Instead of saying, if you're a man that would care about the sin in my life, just like this woman standing here today, and she is so heartbroken and so downtrodden and feeling like ashamed of what she did, I wonder if one of them men ever left that room ashamed. Under the same conviction and power that Jesus just said, if you don't have sin in your life. See, sometimes it's okay just to have sin in your life. And go on down the road the way you want to go down the road. But that's what God wants to change in our life. Am I right? Okay. Uh, 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So there was no way you could be justified. You'd be totally set free. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Beware. The prophets have spoken. This is how important this word is. Beware lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. It's where God turned things around in Gentiles' life, and they begin to realize what God had given them and blessed them with. But you guys, when Ron was talking about that this morning, about how that some people's hearts may not believe the prophets and the things that's gone on, the Lord had kind of laid this on my heart this week, and I'm just thinking, man, what a precious word. And it's just like, okay, God, I don't want to just go and listen to a word without listening to where the word came from. If God's using a prophet, if God's prophesying to you, if God's bringing you a word or bringing me a word, I want to understand that there's a reason God's bringing it to me and what He's doing in my life. So I wanted to just share that this morning, because Ron, after you had mentioned that, I wanted to. I felt like I needed to share it.
All right. Thank you, Jesus.
There we go.
Well, Lord, we just thank you, God, for the word that you're talking to us today, Jesus. And God, we just repent before you, Jesus, for everything in our hearts, Lord, that wouldn't believe the people that you send to us, Jesus. And God, we're just asking, God, that you take this word, Lord. God, the word that Ron preached this morning, God, that Fred preached this morning, God, this word that you've given to me, Lord, we're just asking, God, that your spirit, God, would breathe that life into it, Jesus, God, and show us, Lord, the things that you're talking to us, Lord Jesus, God, the difference that it makes, God, these scriptures this morning, God, we've read over probably hundreds of times. I know I have, Jesus, but God, when your life breathes into it, God, we see that it's for us and it's for today, Jesus, and we thank you for it, God. And God, I just repent in front of everyone, Jesus, God, for anything, God, that I haven't taken with a sense of gravity and the weight, God, that you've spoken it, Jesus. And God, we're just asking, God, that today, Lord, we'd take it, apply it to our hearts, Jesus, God, and that we'd come out of this service, God, different people, ready to serve for you, Jesus, God, fit for you, Lord Jesus. We worship you and praise you, God. Amen. I want to go to Philippians 1. It's really precious how God knows what's going on in our lives. And sometimes he gives us wisdom for other people, and then we realize, wait a second, that was wisdom for me. You know, Draven and I were talking about some stuff in the truck. We were blessed with a trip together. And that actually is a miracle, because I don't drive a truck anymore. That in itself is a miracle, but I needed, you know, more time at home, and I was just asking the Lord, like, man, God, I miss being at church. I miss being with my wife. I appreciate everything you've done for me. And man, he's taught me a lot. He really has taught me that he's there for me. No matter where I'm at, I can call on him. If I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas, at some podunk truck stop that's barely open, then and I'm by myself in a truck, then he's going to be there with me. And he's the same for all of us. But Draven and I were talking, and it was really precious, because God just gave us some wisdom, and some stuff we were talking. And I was just like, well, man, that was the Lord. That's really cool, you know, because I kind of talk in a rabbit hole sort of way, where, you know, it's I'm going one way and I dodge off this way and then dodge off that way. So for me to talk really clear, plain, is actually kind of difficult sometimes. My thoughts don't run in a straight line. So it was a blessing, because I was just like, well, you know, and then that happened. I was like, man, that was awesome. And I was reading this morning, and I was like, oh, well, that was for me. Thank you, Jesus, you know. And so, you know, because sometimes, you know, I talk, and it's stuff that's just, it's not that it's like bad or that it's at anybody. Yeah. But it's just superfluous stuff. It's stuff that is extra. It doesn't matter. And I'll watch silly YouTube videos and stuff, and it's like there's nothing necessarily bad in them, but it's like if you spend a lot of time doing that, then it can actually take the peace that God gave you, because you're just kind of wasting your brain on stuff that doesn't matter. And so, and it's like, I have definitely done that, you know, and not that, you know, seeing a funny video here or there is wrong or anything, but it's just, I don't want to spend my time doing that. I want my time to be spent wisely in the things that He would give me, especially when we have such short time. So, I just want to start in verse 21, I think. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in the strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." You know, I've had that. I've been like, man, Lord, I spend time in prayer. And it's like, man, I don't want to do anything else at the meetings. I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going back to work on Monday, man. I'm loving this, man. I love spending time in the Word. I love getting with you guys and everything. And I'm just like, man, Lord, I'm ready for you to call me to something else, you know, take care of, you know, all my physical things. And then it's just as clear as day. He's like, no, actually, I have a purpose for you here, and I want you to stay. And so for me to stay at home and pray, that's what I want to do. Man, I just want to spend time with Him. But yet I get up early in the morning, and I put my stuff on. And I don't know if a lot of you guys know my particular situation, but I know the heavy haul type of things, and I went in the office, and I had a manager who was training me this stuff, and he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm leaving. And I'm like, even in high school, I wasn't that serious about learning how to type and doing computers and stuff, and I haven't done it since then. So you want me to do what? And so, and I have. I just had to jump in and learn it, and I'm the only one there that knows how to do the heavy haul stuff. And so I'm learning how to type and do all these things on the internet and stuff on top of that. And then I'm training two other people. So, you know, the stress level's pretty high. And then I've got another job on top of that through the same company. So people are calling me like, hey, when can I get this moved? How much would you charge for this? I'm like, dude, if you want a straight answer, I'll just tell you, I don't know. But I don't say that. But I'm like, I'll get back to you, you know, a nice professional answer. And then a week later, hey, where's that tractor at? Like, oh, I'm still working it up in my spare time. But anyway, I don't want to do that. It's like, I didn't want to go back to work. I wanted to spend time in prayer. But God's like, no, you've got duties. You've got things that I've called for you to do. And, you know, Paul, he's the same way here. He said that he was a tent maker by trade, and he often didn't take the gifts that churches were giving to him, because he would say, actually, I supply with my own hands. And he did take them, of course. But it was like he's saying, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so he's like, I'm sure he had lots of orders to fill in the tent, and God's been moving on the Word. He's touching him. And he's like, man, this is what I want. I don't want to go make any more tents. My fingers are hurting. You know, fingers are bleeding, and yet God's wanting me to do this. So in 23, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, what I found is really a blessing that, you know, God's given us Brother Ron, and He's given us him as a prophet, and He's given us him to know the ins and the outs, but He's also our friend. And so, you know, I used to have a really hard time whenever I go and hang out with him, because I'm like, he knows what I'm thinking all the time, and it may not be really good, or he may not think that joke's funny. And then he's joking, he's having a great time, and it's like, but I couldn't enjoy the fullness of it. And God's the same way. He's a good friend. And yeah, we have the gravity of we need to take what he says as serious, but he also... I was praying. I mean, he's hilarious too. He's got a great sense of humor. I was driving down the road, and I was kind of complaining a little bit. I was like, man, God, you know, I took this job as like a local kind of regional kind of thing. And I'm kind of wanting to be home. I don't want to be over the road, you know. And he said, just as clear as day, he said, whatever state you're in, to be content therewith. I was like, wow. It's just, wow, okay. And then it takes all your little complaining and all the stuff you're upset about, and you're like, wow, okay, well, if this is a joke, then apparently it's not as big a deal as I make it to be. And so, and he's got stuff in it. He's teaching me. And I can't tell you, they are definitely dad jokes, because it's like he's done stuff like that where I'm in the scripture and it's just a pun. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is hilarious. But he's talking to me, and it's like the reality is he talks to us and he knows what we want. But So I've found that actually in hanging out with Ron and Rachel and stuff, actually to just rest, because if God can talk to me like that, then he knows what I need to be doing and he knows what I'm doing all the time. And so if I'm living like that, then it doesn't matter. I can come and I can receive wisdom and I can yet joke and have a good time, because we're talking those things that are edifying. We're thinking those things that are edifying. The things that we take with our mind and we spend time doing is that's edifying. So then when somebody needs something from us, then we're there. It doesn't matter. He said being instant in season and out. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have some really hard, long days. You know, there was somebody here in the church that I had a really, really long, hard day, and I actually hadn't even had much prayer just because the workload was so strong. And they came to me and they're like, man, I'm really dealing with this thing and I need you to pray. And it felt like the last time. I was like, oh man, being instant in season and out, I don't feel so instant. I feel like going to bed, and I don't know how much faith I can muster right now. Well, thank God I'm not living on my faith. I'm living on the faith of him who died on the cross and gave himself for me. So I just said, well, you said pray. And you'd answer. And so I just was like, well, okay, this is obviously not me. And I started praying, and the presence of God came down and ministered and changed the thing. And I went away just amazed, because it was a huge lesson for me, because it was like, wow, even if I'm, you know, I don't feel prepared, God's prepared, and he knows what we need. And so if he's given me a job to do it, I do it with all of my heart. And if he's given me time to pray, man, I pray, and I seek him with all of my heart. And so I just, we have seasons, and he knows all that stuff. And so, but I was reading that, and I was like, man, sometimes my conversation is not that becomes the gospel of Christ. And there are things that are obvious lines you just don't cross. You just know, you know. But then there's other things where it takes his presence and spirit to lead you and to say, this is the standard that I've set. Because it's not by our standards. It's by his standards. He knows what's becoming of the gospel. And so what we want to do is just be tender. And whenever we feel his peace start lifting, it's like, okay, I know, don't go down that road anymore. Because it's not that you can think and, you know, speculate and all that stuff. Like, well, maybe, you know, this somehow is bad, or I don't think I'm talking bad about somebody. It doesn't matter. You start feeling that stuff, you realize, well, I'm wasting brain energy here. Let's not do that. And it was really funny, because there was times where I felt like Heidi, you know, may not have been listening to me. I'm like, man, God, you know, change that. And he's like, all right, let's do that. How about you stop speaking garbage and then she'll listen to what you have to say? Like, man, that's pretty good. It's like, if you're wasting your energy on silly stuff, then there's nothing her brain can process. And so it's going to be shut off. And so then when you're talking real things, then it's going to take a little bit to get her attention and to want to listen. So what you want to do is train the people around you that the stuff you have to say is important. Not that it's just garbage stuff, not that, you know, it's just going to be wasting their time to talk to you. And, you know, I have a lady that I'm training at work, and she's just one of those people who anything that comes into her brain, it comes out her mouth at the same time. And that's the most difficult type of person to train, because they're interrupting you the whole time you're trying to explain something to them. And so you're like, if you know this, then why don't you just leave me to do my job, and then you can do it. But the whole point is she didn't know it. And so while I'm explaining, I had to just tell her, look, you know, if you're talking, then I can't talk and make sense. It breaks my train of thought. And so what I need you to do is I need you to listen, and I need you to apply yourself to what I'm saying, It's great to have questions. I honestly have a lot of questions myself that I'm trying to look into so I can train you correctly. What I need you to do is listen to the things that I'm saying, and then afterward bring your questions, because I may be about to answer the question that you're about to ask, and you're just wasting breath here, you know? And so it's precious how God gives us people like that. And then he shows us, you know, sometimes you do that. And it's like, wow, well, that's really annoying. I don't really want to do that to other people. Thank you, Jesus. So, and the precious thing is we'll skip up to 2, and we'll go to verse 10. It's still Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. He says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So not just in church, not just in prayer, but when you're just going throughout the day working, that your knees are bowed to him, your heart's bowed to him. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that doesn't mean you're sitting at the computer typing away saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, because that gets annoying. You know, that's, again, wasting brain power, because what you want is your heart to be saying that. What you want is to be living a life that light shines. You know, and another guy at work, he came in and he's like, hey, could you come talk to me for a minute? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I came in there and he said some pretty vile things to me the first time I was there, just like joking. And I was like, ugh, you know, that's not cool at all. But I've never said anything to him about it. I just kind of changed the subject or was like, okay. And then, you know, went on about my business. But he pulled me in there. He's like, man, I apologize. I've got a really filthy mouth. And, you know, I know you're a really religious guy. I've never said anything to him about the Lord. I have now, but I didn't before that. And he just felt it. He was impacted by it because I was a light. And because I was just amazed to see that, because I was like, man, I didn't get to talk to him yet, except that we carry that with us if we're seeking him, if we're holding to him. And not wasting our mind energy, not wasting our breath on the things that we say that we think somebody else might think is funny. And so he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You know, I had a dream last night that I was talking with somebody, and they said something that I just thought was really funny, but I was like, that probably wasn't the best thing to say. And Ron was right there with us, so we were all talking together, and I was, you know, patting Ron on the back and laughing. I look over and he was like, yeah, not so much. I don't really like what you're saying. I don't like the way you said that. And then it made me like, oh, yeah, that's kind of right. That makes me feel uncomfortable. You know, you want to walk around like God is watching everything that you do, because he is. You want to talk like God hears everything that you say, because he does. He's always there. And so if it helps, picture somebody that you feel like you answer to, feel like you have some authority. For me, it is Brother Ron, and really, I think for everybody here, it should be. Picture these right there with you, and that you're having the time of your life, but you also know to be wise in the things that you say. And if you're going to put something in a way that wouldn't be the best way to say it, the best thing to do is just not do it at all. And so, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so, and he goes on to talk about how to talk and how to do these things. But the whole point is, it's him who holds the standard. It's him who shows us what's in our life that doesn't measure up. And I praise God for this, because it's an answer to my prayer. Heidi will be able to listen to me if I'm saying things that matter. And it helps your marriage. It'll help every aspect of your life. And so God's not doing this because he's saying that we're less than. He's saying that, okay, you're at a place where you're asking me for this, and you want to serve me. You love me, and I appreciate that. And because of that, I'm going to answer your prayers. And I've been praying for you to come to this point. And so I'm going to bring you on in that. And so, you know, I appreciate God. I appreciate what he does, and I appreciate how he brings our attention to the amen. So.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Can I say something?
You can say everything you want.
Uh-huh.
I Okay, I don't do this very often or ever. But I just kind of wanted to testify about what God did at the revival. And I felt like I should have done this the other day, and I didn't. And with Fred talking, I only caught the end of it, but I felt like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I talked to the Sunday school kids this morning about the same thing. But, you know, you guys were all here the first night of the revival, and Ron started going out and praying and prophesying, and I was excited. That's never happened for me personally. So I was praying selfishly for God to stop in front of me. And behind me, Josh was apparently praying for the same thing. He's like, touch my mom, touch my mom. And then Ron stopped in front of Josh and started prophesying over Josh. And I was extremely touched by that. And, of course, a little bit jealous. But we got home, and we were just talking to him about the things that God was talking to him about. And he was like, it was as if God was just standing right in front of me and talking. And it was that way because that's what God was doing. He was using a prophet to do that. And he was talking to Josh's heart about things that Josh knew, that I didn't know about Josh. Ron probably didn't know about Josh, but it was what God knew about Josh. And so I was really excited for him, and I go to get in the shower, and I'm praying because that's my quiet space. And and so I was just praying. I was like, okay, God, I know you're going to talk to us, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say to me. But, you know, I've been kind of closed up to him because there's times, especially the stuff that's going on in my life with the kids and my family, it's sometimes hard for me to go and just give him everything because it feels like I'm being ripped into my heart and stuff, and I just don't like doing that. So I was confessing all this stuff to him. And so the next night, we were kind of separated because our family's large, and Ron stops and starts talking. And it was as if God, you know, I was telling Rachel, it was like the Nathaniel moment for me when God was getting his disciples, and he's like, you know, Nathaniel, and he's like, actually it says, behold indeed, or an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And Nathaniel's like, who, how do you know me? And he's like, under the fig tree. And if Ron would have come up to me and stood and said, in the shower last night, which would have been odd for all of us, but it was my Nathaniel moment. It was God was talking to me about what I was talking to him about the night before. And so I just wanted to testify to that because I couldn't have talked to Ron about all that stuff. Josh could talk to Ron about all that stuff. It was what God talked to me about, where we were having a personal moment. And he came up and was like, hey, I heard you. I heard what you said, and this is what we're going to do about it. And so I just wanted to testify to that. But I also wanted to share a quick story. And over Christmas break, Hannah had her basketball team had like a Christmas party. And they did a Secret Santa type thing, and they exchanged names. But with the names, they had kind of likes and dislikes because not all the girls know each other very well. And so they had their practice, and then they had a big breakfast, and they did their Secret Santa. And Hannah came home and was showing me what she got, and you know, was telling me about the party. And there's this girl that is one of the managers, and she's honestly a pretty hateful girl, and her mom's pretty hateful. And so she was like, I just felt really bad for whoever got this girl. She goes, because she got her present, and she opened it up, and before she even, you know, showed anybody, she just kind of rolled her eyes and threw the gift aside. And Hannah was like, I felt bad. And everyone's like, we didn't even see what you got. And so she pulled it out, and she just kind of threw it aside and rolled her eyes and just sat back. And I felt terrible for whoever got that girl. But what I do know is that prophecy is a gift. And God gave us a gift. And I don't want to be someone who opens it up, rolls my eyes, and throws it aside. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that.
I believe that we're in that important of an hour. That God is talking to us about the things that we could easily miss because he doesn't want us to miss it, yeah? What does that mean? Okay. So we want the Spirit of God to bring us up to speed. Because what Fred was talking was part of what God was saying. Yeah? And so we had prophets. And what Paul finally was saying is that here's what we came to. You guys read the prophets every Sabbath day, but you wouldn't do it, but you did fulfill it. Not the good part. You fulfilled the bad part. Now God has told us the same thing because he said that he's going to have a marriage supper. He said the kingdom of God is like a man who gave a marriage supper for his son. And he invited his friends. Well, that would be us. Yeah? So we're either going to go or we're not. Busy with our own things, indifferent to what God says. And I feel like what God did for me in this meeting and did for you as well, it is he awakens us to the difference between the judges and the king. Because God started his kingdom with judges. Because the point is, and that's how we deal with our children, we deal with judgment over things. Look, you didn't do it right. Okay, you didn't do that right. And what happened is they traveled 450 years with judges. Ultimately, they got a prophet. Now, I believe that some of those men were led by the Spirit of God, spoke with the voice of God. But when we come to a king doesn't do what a judge does. A judge says, okay, do it right. A king has authority to arrest you, beat you half to death, and throw you in a dungeon till you're dead. God finally resorted to a king. And here's the thing about the prophets. They were called seers. And isn't it interesting that we're entering into the year 2020 and we should all be able to see? We should be able to see what the Word of God says. We should be able to see what the Spirit of God's doing and saying. Yeah? And that's what God's doing this morning, is he's bringing this repetition of him. And the only reason he'd be doing that is if there's a turmoil in people that are making wrong judgment. Because here's the thing about God, is that up until you call what he says a lie, and you can just say, oh, I didn't believe that's from him. If it was from him, that's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Yeah? So we've entered into a place, if God's talking, see what they said about Jesus is, you know how he's casting out devils? He's not doing it by God. My judgment is, it wasn't God. It was his flesh. He's doing this stuff. You know why? Because he's the prince of the devils. So you guys, what we're getting a glimpse of is we either have faith or we don't. We either have faith in him or we don't. We either know his voice or we don't. And that's the precious thing about God and what he does. Oh, and Heidi, when you came here, the doctors told you your hair wouldn't grow. Would you? Thank you, Heidi. See, that's what I think about. That's what I think about every lie that the devil tells you. Scoliosis. Listen, I had an episode with Bell's palsy here in this pulpit preaching. My face dropped. My eye wouldn't shut. It sagged. I thought I was having a stroke. I was telling you the truth. And when I finished that service, Donna lived upstairs. Kevin and Donna lived upstairs. And they wanted me to see the cupboards up there. And Heidi came up there while I was there. And I intended to just go home. Because I know that if God is in my life and he's kept me in all these other things, he'll keep me in that. But I also know that if you're having a stroke, you only have a little bit of time to get a reversal on the thing. So I felt committed to the things of God. And Heidi came in and she said, you know, I was diagnosed. She's telling Donna, I was diagnosed with scoliosis or something. And she said, I came here and God touched me and healed me. Do you know why? Because God was prophesying to me. He was prophesying to me. Do you know why he could do that? Because I knew his voice. I knew he'd followed me upstairs in her and said, tell him about what I did. Because this guy needs to know I'm going home under that. I didn't go home under the illusion that this stuff was in control of anything. I went home under the understanding that God sent somebody to the top of the stairs, and I was eternally grateful for that. Because the things that God puts in our heart and our mind are important things. You guys, that's what the Spirit and presence of God is leading us to. He's bringing us to that place. That he talked about our mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Yeah? That's where we're at. So I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've read this enough. You have it memorized. I have it memorized, which is good because it expedites what we're saying. God, take this word and fulfill it in our lives. God, you have brought us to the brink of victory. And Lord, I thank you for every person that's taking hold of the supernatural. We're learning that we were capable of not believing. We are learning that we're capable of not taking what you say because we don't like it. God, we find ourselves capable of interpreting our own dreams, making excuses for the things that we do, and bringing confrontations against you, God. We found out a lot about us. And God, we found out that we have wept because you spoke to us. We found out, God, that we surrendered because we were so grateful that your voice came down and changed everything for us. God, we have become those people, Lord, who are making up our minds what we're going to do. And we've made up our minds we're going to follow you everywhere. Now, God, I just pray that your Spirit and presence would touch this word. God, that you'd bless it as only your Spirit can bless it. God, in your name we pray. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. I didn't know what Fred would talk. I did not know what Bobby was going to say. But I got to tell you something. What I do know is that the Spirit of God put these things together for me and you. Because he has every reason for you and I to come to victory. Yeah? And that's what we're at. We're only at the beginning of this. I believe we're going to come more and more where the Spirit of God sets the tone for the direction we're traveling. And it's going to bring us into a place where we are aware of what it is that our thought process does. And what God is asking us to come into. So in these scriptures, I want to go to 1 Corinthians. Did I tell you 3? Yes? Okay, then that's where we're at. And this is what he said. Of course, he starts out, we know this, we have this memorized. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto babes. Okay, so here's the thing. Some of us are mature enough that God can speak to us like he is. Some of us are babes. We need the milk. And the interesting thing is, we don't believe that we just need milk. We believe that we are able to take the Word of God and digest it and give it to others. But what the Spirit of God is teaching us is that we've got to let God show us and prove to us where we really are. Because you guys, if I'm taking the Word and I think I'm understanding it and I'm giving it out to people and I'm not doing it right, well then there would be consequences for those actions. So we're not in a bad place. We're in the right place. We're not in a place where God is destroying us. We're in a place that God's rescuing us from what we wouldn't know. And so His Spirit and presence is bringing us into this understanding. So I want to go down to verse 9. What Fred said about where every envy and strife is, where every evil work is, there's envy and strife. And that's what we read up there. It said if you're in the carnal, you'll be filled with envy and strife. Strife. Strife comes up easy, you guys. That's just something that the carnal man does. Now, verse 9 says, he's talking about him and Apollos, yeah, being fellow laborers. One plants, the other waters. God gives the increase. One plants, one waters. God gives the increase. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You're God's husbandry. He's going something here, yes? So he's using two different figurative things. And the second thing is you're God's building. It's easy for both things to be done. It's easy to have husbandry where you're taking care of animals or you're dealing with issues. Because you learn, just like Bobby said, there's things you just have to learn. Once you learn it, it really works well. So you don't forget the things you learn, and so that's the way the Spirit of God does us. But he said, if you've learned husbandry, then you know how to deal with these issues. So it's imperative that we had knowledge of it, yeah? And that's what God's doing to us. And we learn these things. I would think that the reason that so many ranchers have sons that follow their footsteps is because they're taught at the ranch what to do. So your vocation is evident to you. You know how it works. Angie's sister, Willie, Willie, I'm glad he's not here. He would not have taken well to that. Angie only had a brother, thank heavens. But they grew up on a granddad's farm. And he taught Willie all kinds of stuff. So when he went away to school, he was disgusted with school because they didn't teach him anything about farming. He came home and they said, how'd you like school? So he was at school. So this is the first day. You know, that's a bad idea, yeah? But it's just the first day. They're trying to comfort him. It's like, I thought I was going to learn about farming. It's like, well, that will be later. No, what he went to school for was to learn the stuff. You know, when you're that tall, you got to get ahead of the game. But you guys, here's what that's all he ever wanted to be. All he ever wanted to be was a farmer. And so you guys, that's what we do. We give to the people around us that we work with, or our children that we cherish, we give them their vocation. Not necessarily that they're going to work at their life, but we give them a vocation that starts with the revelation of God. Yes? Because when you start with that revelation of God, you're instilling something in them that has lifelong potential in it. And so what Paul said is, here's where I'm at. We're laborers together. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. You can be dealt with and trained and taught, or you can be built. Now, both things are easy if you know what you're dealing with, yeah? According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, Paul's defining his role in this thing. According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I understand that what God did in my life was grace. This isn't. He didn't pick me because I was just like Bobby. It's like, wow, I don't know how to do this stuff. I'll be back with you. Those guys had asked me questions in the jail ministry. God was very wise. He wanted me to deal with individuals in the jail ministry because he wanted me out of my comfort zone so I could talk to people. Another thing he taught me is to listen instead of talk. You're thinking, that didn't stick well. But it actually did stick better than you think, because God taught me to listen. Because if you listen to what's going on inside of somebody, if you let them talk, first off, they need to get things out. Another thing is you hear things they won't talk about. Once you hear it long enough, you realize, I know what the issue is. It's the thing you never talk about. It's the thing that I see, but I know you need, and I know that the Spirit of God wants to bring you to that place. It's too painful to come out and talk about it. You keep it inside. Because it's yours. It's that thing inside of you that you just couldn't share with people. So what I'm going to talk to you about is those kinds of things. That's what the Spirit of God does, because it opens it up. But you need somebody that when they open it up, they're not aghast at what they see. They're not upset at you because it's there. They understand that the enemy, your adversary, wanted to do something against you. And so that's the reason the wound is there in the first place. It's not your fault. It is honestly an answer to the things that you were going through. So this is what Paul says about what his role is. No. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. I've laid the foundation. Now, I got to tell you what the foundation is, because we all know what the foundation is. It's Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, look, I've laid a foundation, and here's the two parts of this. That foundation is a king. Yeah? And he has to be obeyed. It isn't about your option. It's about He's God. And what He's done is He's brought to you this thing that He's telling you, I want you to take what I'm telling you and let your spirit receive what I'm saying, because I want your mind to begin to think on this. Pay attention to it. You guys, our responses, when we get in a place of difficulty or an emergency, our brain goes into this da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It just starts overloading itself. And if you don't pay attention to what you're doing, if you're driving on ice and your car goes to spinning cookies, you have to make right decisions to get out of the circumstance. You have to do something, and there are things you can do. Now, what you have to do is honestly think about it before you get to spinning. I was driving off of Colorado Boulevard, turned on to 17th Street in Denver, and it's super icy. And a car pulls over into my lane. It's double lane. And a car pulls over in my lane so close to me and going slower than me that I'm going to run into the back of them, or I'm going to jump the curb and go into City Park. I drove through City Park a ways. Didn't bang up my car. It was a miracle they didn't do anything to the rim on that side of the car. But you know what? We climbed that little curb and went out of the... But you guys, I was thinking because I was on ice. Back before most of you were born, there were two 747s on an island in the Atlantic Ocean called Tenerife. Two seasoned pilots and a foggy morning. And one of them was given a clearance to take off, and the other misunderstood his instructions and pulled on to the runway, active runway. Because of the fog, they didn't see each other. 747s, about 600 people on a little island with a hospital that couldn't deal with much tragedy at all. A lot of them are going to die. And the pilot in one of the airplanes, in the black box, he sees what's getting ready to happen, and they both see each other simultaneously. They both know that, and the one pilot landed there, and he asked them to add extra fuel to his 747. He's got more than 80,000 pounds of fuel on that airplane. 80,000 pounds of fuel. Do you know what he knows? He knows he's not going to clear that other 747, and that he is going to bring 80,000 pounds of fuel to a fire. And he begins to curse. And the other pilot says, Gladys, do you know why he could say it? Because every day he got in that airplane, he wasn't trying to be morbid. But he knew there was a black box. And he knew that he would want... He'd want those people from the national board to take that black box message to his wife. He couldn't send it. He couldn't call it. But he thought about it. And when he had seconds to live, what came out of his mouth was that. Listen to me. You want to know what comes out of your mouth. You want to know. Because you know what? What comes out of your mouth is what you're thinking. What you're thinking. And so God lets us see our mouth. And He's very wise because He tells us, you know, your tongue is unruly. It's unruly. And so here's the blessing about what God is doing. You guys, I want my mind so in tune with the things of God that I have practiced. You don't want to get in an airplane and tell yourself, okay, what would I say? What would I say if I had 10 seconds? This is what I'd say. And every time you get in that airplane, that's what you think. You guys, how would you fly if you're thinking your airplane's going to crash? But that man wanted to say something on a black box to someone he loved because he knew the possibility existed. Listen, there's a possibility that you and I are going to come to a place that what comes out of us in the moment of extremity isn't something you would want to come out, and you're going to be surprised it was even there. That's what God is telling us. Look, we're going to work on you. We're going to work on your emotional man. Because if you and I don't work on these things, this is where we're going to be when that moment comes in our life. You see, the Spirit of God tells us that the Apostle Paul understood he was a master builder. Now listen. And there's other people going to build on my foundation, he said. I get that. But he said, they have to build on this foundation. And let every man take heed how you build thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now listen. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. There's a revelation coming about the work, on whether or not it would go through the fire. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now listen, know ye not that you are the temple of God? So obviously we are God's building. And it isn't just a building. It's the building. It's where God lives. It's where He inhabits. So I want to go from there. Listen. 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, I want to go over here to Galatians. And I believe that it's chapter 1, verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The only foundation to the church, the only foundation to the church is the revelation of Jesus. Yeah? So what he is as a king, we have to surrender to. Obedience is not an option. So what he's telling us is, I'm entering into a relationship with you, but you got to remember that he's also wanting a bride, yeah? So he says, the church isn't just my building, the church is my bride. So I have this commitment to you to bring you into a unity with me. So this revelation of Christ begins to build out of what the Apostle Paul saw about Christ. Yeah? So he's prophet, priest, and king. So when we go back to where the judges ended, God brought on a prophet. And the thing about the prophet is that when he would come to a town in Israel, they would all go out to him and say, are you coming in peace? Are you coming in peace? Because they understood that God could bring judgment through that man. And that's because he could see. He could see what it was that God wanted dealt with and could be brought to it. So what God's bringing me and you to is honestly paying attention to the fact that there's a God who really does know what's going on inside of us. He really knows what we're praying. He really knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. So you guys, here's the thing. What he gave to us for our thought process was the Word of God. But the Word of God is being read all over the world. Jehovah's Witnesses are reading it and they believe there's no Christ. The Mormons are reading it and they're going to the planet of Orinork. Every woman who wants to go to Orinork has to marry a man that's in the Mormon church. No woman can go to Orinork without that thing. They talk the name Jesus because the devil uses real things to conceive a lie that deceives people. So what God is saying is, here we've got all kinds of people reading the Bible and messing with it. So it isn't that you read the Bible, it is that you come to Him humbly and say, okay, I need you to be able to speak to me in the Word, yes? So you guys, here's what happens. As we begin to move that direction, the Word of God challenges our thought process. It challenges what we say because it is indicative of what we're thinking. And so what we want is to have the Spirit of God bring us to this place that we recognize that God has done something specific for us to come to victory. When I came here to Honduras, when I came here to there's Latino food here. When I came here, God had given me a scripture in Psalms 126 where it says, "He that goes forth bearing precious seeds shall surely come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And weeping. Goes forth weeping. So God gave me that scripture. The very first time that a group of people got together, my friend Gary Feynman came to the house. I lived over there by Blue Mound and on the Wakarusa River. And maybe 20 other people gathered at the house that had met me under the tent. And they were excited about God doing something here in Kansas. We'd been to lots of meetings in the wintertime even. And God had certainly prospered that and blessed it. And we came to this meeting and people gathered. And I was supposed to be there at a certain time. And someone had brought me from Kansas City. And they didn't go through Lawrence to the little house out there on the south side. They came down Highway 32. And so we came in over there on the side where 32 comes and crosses. There's just a little bar or something over there as you come around, and then you get down to 24 Highway that comes from Tonganoxie. And so I head down this road that I think is going to take me to Paradise, and it takes me to almost Bonner Springs. Evidently, my shortcut was elongated by the fact I went east instead of west, right? But what God did is he allowed these people to set together and the Spirit of the Lord to descend. And so that when I came in, I was turmoiled by, first off, I wasn't here on time. Another thing, I had to realize I was lost. When you get to Bonner Springs, you're like, well, I don't know Kansas well, but I know it ain't Lawrence. And then you turn around, and now you're going to be a distance from it. So when I came in there, I could feel the presence of God. God's in the house. And so I came in, and I sat down, and people had been praying. Gary Feynman looked up at me. I know he looked past me. And he said, I'm seeing a vision of some sheaves of wheat and they're tied together. And he said, in fact, it's tied with such a beautiful bow. The thing I actually have my attention drawn to more than anything else is not only are the sheaves together, but they're bound together by this most beautiful tying thing. And I know that's love. And I knew that scripture. I knew that God would give me that scripture. I'm going to send you there. I'm going to gather people. And I'm going to tie them together with that bond that cannot be broken. And that's what God does in our lives. So you guys, here's the thing. I had a foundation from which to work. I had a promise from God to come here. He had opened up the door. Now he tells me, look, this is what you're going to do. You're going to stay here until I bring people into a unity. And then one day you'll be at the pulpit there and someone will bring you a tap of tea. Just in the nick of time. No, he didn't really say that. He just knew he was going to do that. But you guys, here's what his Spirit does. He began to talk things of the Word of God that people didn't recognize. And so they had to have a turmoil coming out of what they read the Scriptures and believed and came into that place where we were built on a revelation of Jesus Christ because He's the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So you guys, what God's talking to you and me about is Jesus is the Word. He's absolutely the Word. And I need the revelation of the Word because Paul said, listen, here's how I came to the conclusions I came to. I came to what I know by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was revealed to me. Not that he stood before me on the road to Damascus. Certainly he did do that. But I left that moment knowing this can't be true. I know he is. I know he's Lord because I called him that. Who art thou, Lord? I recognize the authority and power I've run into. But I know the scriptures. I know Genesis. I know Exodus. I know every chapter in the Old Testament. I'm part of the Sanhedrin Council. I'm a teacher in Israel. I know the written word of God. I would have known if God told us he was coming. God would not bring an event like the Messiah without us understanding what it was that the event was going to be like. God wouldn't have done that. So when Paul ends up in Damascus, the reason he stays on that place, he said, I didn't go back and talk to the apostles. Because for one thing, they were fishermen and tax collectors, and they were men who didn't know the Word. He knew the Word. He didn't want to know about the supernatural things they could see. He wanted to know why it is that in the written Word there was nothing said about God bringing the Messiah to Israel and them not knowing it. You guys, that's what he wanted to know. And now he just got in the Word and he said, okay, you tell me where you are in Genesis. You tell me where you are in Genesis. Man, he opened his book and he runs into Adam. Adam has sinned. He's eaten of the knowledge of good and evil. Judgment. Wow, that's what's wrong with Israel. We made wrong judgments. We made wrong judgments. We didn't know what was coming. We judged God wrong. No wonder he said, don't do that. The day you do that, you'll die. Okay, then he sees the blood. He asks Adam, who told you you were naked? And that judgment caused the same sensation that the priests had. They always had a judgment for what they saw. They never had a judgment which was God. Because it came out of the carnal mind and it could condemn people, but it couldn't set them on the course following Christ. It's the very same thing he did. So he looks at this slain sacrifice and he realizes, man, this thing starts with light. It starts with the Word. It starts with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I don't know where I'm going to find him all the way through this old covenant, but I tell you what, I'm already awakened to the fact that everywhere I look that there's light, he's there. Everywhere I see that there's blood, he's there. And he ran into a river of blood. And it wasn't about animals. It was about the sacrifice of God. It was talking about, cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. It's like, Jesus, this man is in a puddle. He has wept because, you guys, what else do you do when suddenly you realize we could not have missed 4,000 scriptures? We could not possibly have said we served God and missed 4,000 scriptures that told about Him. How in the world could we travel so dark? Paul came to the Gentiles. He said, no, we're going to start with a different thing, you and I. I'm going to start with Christ Jesus. And I'm going to start with the revelation of Him. And I'm going to start with the Old Testament. And I'm going to take the Old Testament, I'm going to bring it to you, and I'm going to show you who He is and where He is and why He does what He does. And you're going to understand it. And what brought the Jews to defeat, you're going to walk on until you walk uprightly before Him. You're going to see Him, you're going to know Him, and you're going to hear His voice. It's what you want. It's what I want. That's why we're here where we're at. It's why God is doing what He's doing. It's why you and I are seeing that there's something worth living for in Christ Jesus. And you guys, more than that, there's something about the love of God that reaches out to draw people in. You guys, when I pray for people, what I pray is that the love of God will come upon them. Because when you taste the love of God, when you feel loved, I don't care what your life has been like, it transforms everything in your being. Because when somebody shows you love, it's what captures mothers' hearts. I'm just telling you. It doesn't capture every mother's heart. There's hardness out there, you guys. So hard that a baby can't make its mother love him. That exists in the world. That's a shame. But I've got to tell you something. The heart of a mother taking that baby, it don't take very long, and that baby has won you over. Fred and Sharon took in these little tykes. They love them. Those little tykes love them. Yes, and what God's doing is knit their hearts together. And that's what happens, is this protective stuff comes up in you. When I was going through the stuff to make my house a therapeutic foster home, I was taking classes in Topeka. And this woman is we're droning on. She's teaching me stuff. And man, I'm learning, but I know God's going to do the stuff. And I went to pick up Rusty and they said, he can't go this weekend. I said, oh? Yeah, the guy said he got in trouble. I said, he did? He said, yeah. He said, when he came back last week, he was leaning out your window, yelling at all the boys here in his little group, yelling, man, I had the best weekend ever. And he said he got in trouble this week. And I took his privilege away for the weekend. Do you know what I knew? Man, I went over to where that woman was, and I sat down. And I said, let me tell you something why Rusty couldn't go this week. Because the man in that cottage knows Rusty's buttons. He knows his buttons. And when he told me that Rusty was leaning out my window telling everybody I had the best weekend ever,
It made that guy furious. And he decided right then on Sunday afternoon last week that Rusty wasn't going to go this week. And I said he pushed his buttons. And when he did, he said, "You ain't going anywhere this weekend." And I said, "I'll tell you what I know. There are right things and there are wrong things. And what that guy did was wrong. It was wrong." She said, "Okay, you're done with your classes." I was in her face. She said, "You're done with your classes." She wrote down, "Protection, parental protection has kicked in." That's what you want. That's what you want. Parental protection has kicked in. You want the Spirit of God inside of you to kick in. So that, and it doesn't matter who they are. You don't have to be the parent of somebody you know. You need to be able to bring what it is that God's put inside of you. And the world will see it. The world will see it. Hannah Scott was at school and talking to a kid and a teacher. There's somebody that was there said, do you do counseling? She said, "Well, of course she does counseling all the time. Are you kidding me?" But they have this conversation. And the woman said, I want to hire you. I will pay you to talk to my daughter. She's a para at a school. Hannah. Picked out by somebody who needed somebody with wisdom. Listen to me. You know what happened to Hannah when she got here? God began to reveal Himself to her. God began to reveal Himself to her. She needed to know that God would protect her. You know what God is? You know what God is? He put her in a job in a locked up prison. Because her mom and her dad, and I'm not trying to uncover their nakedness, but her mom, her dad, and her grandpa, her grandma came and took her away from a school she was teaching out over here, Langston Hughes Elementary. She was going to have a coffee engagement with one of the women she worked with, and they took her forcefully. And that woman watched them lead her off to a car. Someone else got in her car and drove it off, and they took her to a mental hospital and told them she's out of her mind. See, now here's the thing. What do you do with a child like that? How do you tell them God will keep you safe if the people that should be trusted cannot be trusted? And here's the message. I can take you from anywhere. I can change your day. I can change what you are. But what Hannah didn't know is that the protective parental instinct of God was done. So He gave her a job and she thought, "I don't know. It's working with guys that are locked up in prisoners and I have to go through barbed wire and locked gates and shut doors and." God said, "Go to work, Hannah. You just go to work." Man, she woke up that first morning. Listen, she was in a sweat about failure because the devil said, "You know what? You have an excuse. Oh, okay, here's my deal." Then God counseled her. God began to speak to her heart. She went to work. Then she found out, man, this is a piece of cake. Making guys mind? Are you kidding me? No, actually, what she found out is she could teach them. And that they were helpless about stuff. And she could teach them stuff. And when the lights came on, it's like they saw an epiphany, a revelation. And she thought, this is exactly where I am. And then one day I told her, "You know, Hannah, why that's happened, right?" She said, "Yeah, because God knows that I would enjoy it." I said, "Yeah, that's good. But the reason He did it is because your mom could never take you away and put you in a mental hospital. You know why? Because there are professionals where you work. And they are going to come at that thought and that lie like bulldozers. They're going to open the door for you. Your mom can never claim you're bad. Your mom can never claim your mind's not right. These people are going to go, her mind is right. All those guys, if you need 70 witnesses, you're going to end up with 70 witnesses. That's kind of God, because His protective instincts kicked in over you. Now He's put you in a job that no one ever said, you know what? Here's our deal. They never have sense. Because you can't kidnap a girl behind all those doors. Because you can't get in any of the doors. And you can knock on those. Yeah, I want to talk to my daughter. Nah. Nah, talk to my daughter. No. No. You're not coming through any of our doors. God puts doors around you. When the devil tells you that you cannot succeed, God will put doors around you. What happens is the devil wants to get something in your life that he can rub God's nose in. It's like, you know, so how come God didn't fix this? God did fix it. God fixed it. See, I am being built on a foundation. And the revelation is God's voice is supreme over all things. And listen, if I need Him to speak something into existence, He can. If I need Him to do something internal in my mind and no one else can touch it, He can. I found a revelation of the foundation and His presence and His Spirit. I'm not just a person. I'm His person. I'm not just going through life. I'm going through life with Him. And here's the thing. I am built on that foundation. Do you know why there are 12 foundations to the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelations? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ is 4 times 3. Those 12 foundations have to do with the depth of the revelation of what God is. And what He did is He took 12 people. And you guys, if ever was somebody that could have worried, Jesus could have been a worried guy. On Wednesday night, somebody asked me a question about Thomas called Didymus. I love that because there it tells you that Thomas's name is called Didymus. And he asks, okay, so we're going over here to raise Lazarus. And what I love is that Jesus is talking spiritual. And Thomas is talking physical and he's catching on to the spiritual. So then he says something that sounds sort of like what Jesus said. And then Jesus talks to them. He said, you know, Lazarus is asleep. They'll go, oh, good. Lazarus is asleep. He's going to be well. Okay. Let's do it this way. Lazarus died. Okay. Lazarus died. No, that's good. So then the next thing that Thomas says is, let's all go die with him. And Jesus doesn't even answer. Maybe all of them dying, Lord. He could have been praying that. Maybe he's asking to die. I don't know, but maybe it'd be a good time. Just kill all 12 of these guys. Just give me 2 more days. Let's start over. I could do better on this. The thing is, you guys, he misses the point because the physical mind misses the point, doesn't it? But the revelation of God is just trust in Him. You are anchored to a foundation that does not settle, doesn't shake, doesn't crack, doesn't go away. And what you want to do is be built on by the written Word of God. And it takes people to build. Yeah. And so what happens is you need to find somebody that knows how to build. Paul said, I'm a master builder. That's what the Spirit and presence of God called us to. He's a master builder. You know what you want to be? You want to be a master builder. Regardless of what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, you know why no man can have 2 wives? It's clear in the Bible. Because no man can serve 2 masters. No. That Leonard Ravenhill said that. Paul said, I'm a master builder. You guys, how many people think? He said, listen, I've laid, and nobody, there is no other foundation to be laid than this. And he said, I wasn't taught it by man. I didn't receive it by man. He said, I was taught it by the revelation. God revealed this thing to me. But I went back and asked. Now, this is what you and I want. God, give me the truth. Give me this. Listen, you guys, I believe we're moving more and more into the voice. I believe we're moving more and more where the seers, where the Spirit and presence of God is leading us, where we couldn't go any other way. I believe God's going to comfort us with it. I believe God's going to direct us with it. And I believe He's going to set in motion whether or not we are hearing the voice. And this is a perfect way to do it. I never thought about God doing this to bring the voice. But you guys, I can see that it is exactly the thing that He's doing. And so He's using our lives that way. And I'm blessed that Bobby could say what he said. I'm blessed that Fred could say what he said. That the Spirit and presence of God could do this. That Beth could have that testimony. You guys, we want these things that glorify God. Because when you stand up for God, something happens in the heavenlies. When you say something that glorifies God, it touches heaven. When you learn that, it's like, you know what? I want my mouth to say the things that glorify God because He hears what I'm saying. He hears what I'm thinking. And so I'm going to take my thoughts and I'm bringing them into this place that says I'm not going to complain about does not complain that no more. You heard that. You don't understand it. But you get that that's how we talk. It's a little bit like Thomas called Didymus. It's like, okay, let's go do this thing. But you and I are learning something of the revelation of God. And listen, if He would teach it to Paul, He'd teach it to you. If He would give it to them, He would give it to us. These are the days that the Spirit and presence of God said that He was going to bring the church into a place. I believe with all my heart that the reason He began with these gifts is because we can't go there without the edification from the Spirit of God. And what the Spirit of God does is edifies. And how you and I receive it is only by faith and whether we like it or not, because, you know, God doesn't have to say nice things to us. Sometimes He says things we don't like just to see if we hear His voice. It's like, nope, I'm not going to accept it. I don't like that. When God sent me to Nebraska, I didn't like it. I kept telling Him, a revival's going through Kansas. I'm north of that. Then He ignored me completely and He sent me to Arkansas. He sent me to Arkansas. Then He gave me that tent, and the only place I could think of to bring it was here. Because I had one friend. When you take a gospel tent that holds 500 people to your one friend's house, yeah. And then God began to do what He began to do in this area. I didn't know He was going to do it, but He did it. And it was because it was a revelation from Him. And He just let it revolve around Him. He's the circle part. And I was pivoting around Him in obedience. And He just kept sending me further out. Took me all the way to St. Francis. I came all the way across the top of Kansas on Highway 36. I went from St. Francis to Meriden to Lawrence. You guys came all the way across the top of Kansas. And it wasn't until it was completely done that it dawned on me. That's the vision He gave me. It's the word that I fulfilled. And indeed, He sent me to Nebraska and then to Arkansas. And then He brought me across the top of Kansas. Because God can bring you from anywhere if His voice can lead you. Yes? So that's what we're doing. Let's stand together. I thank God for His word in Fred. What a precious thing God does. I remember when Mr. Coors was disappeared. The guy kidnapped him, going to get a ransom for him. And what he didn't realize is the guy was buff. So he had to kill him to get him in his car. So before he left where he was, because he caught him outside his gate. He had a gated house. But he went ahead with his plans to extract money from the family. But here's the thing, you guys. God is a delivering God. He's the mighty power. And what He's doing to me and you is bringing us to the place that His Spirit is able to finish what He started. Yeah? He knows how to get it done. God, I thank You for all that You are. And everything, Jesus, that You're doing in us. Lord, Your message was perfect today. God, I thank You for every instrument. God, I thank You for Your will and Your purpose being brought to pass in us. I am encouraged that we have embarked on this pathway, Jesus. There are some people that are in a critical juncture. And we pray, God. There's a man who wants to have a family under him. And he's embattled against Your presence and Your word because he wants to be the priest of a house that he's not even the head of. But he's going to separate somebody, God, that the enemy's trying to separate. I'm asking You for the sake of His children, her children. God, for the sake of her children. God, You do what only You can do. God, don't let this thing come to pass. God, don't let this thing come to pass. God, You are a God who has real power and real presence. And God, I lay claim to her and her daughters. I pray that Your Spirit will do what only You can do. Enough's enough. God, she's been abused and misused by people who claim to be her private priest of no such thing. You're the God above her. I want the revelation of who you are to come to her, and I'd like to have him come to know you. But God, this I know, is there's a battle raging. And Jesus, the territory belongs to you. You own those people. And God, I'm praying in this place this morning that your Spirit would work out this warfare. God, nobody in this place can leave without your Spirit touching the warfare that the enemy would bring against them. God, we're yours. And the one thing we understand about the revelation of you is surrender. We bow our knees. You're God Almighty. You're the King of Kings. And you're the Lord of Lords. And God, to know your word and is to know you. To know your voice is to know you. And God, to know you well enough to know what you do, what you speak, and how you get it done is imperative for us. We want it. All of us are in agreement in this place on this one thing, is that you would lead and guide us, that we would be built right upon the foundation of the revelation of you. God, that on that great day of judgment when all men are there, God, that your Spirit will have made the difference in our lives, every one of us in this place. None of us left out, none of us separated, none of us defeated by the enemy, all of us brought to that place that you intended to have us come. God, I am praying for that kind of word. Let this year be a year that we are brought into the safety of your voice and the word, into the safety of your presence. God, that you would bring your miracles to pass in our lives. God, let this year be the year of us seeing you as your glory should be seen. God, to know you as only your Spirit can bring to us to know you. God, I thank you, Jesus, for the tenderness you've put in my life and to put in the lives of the people that are in this place. God, we cannot talk of these things without weeping. We cannot talk of these things. God, indeed, we've wept. We've brought the seed, the precious seed, and God, we have wept. But Lord, here is your promise to us. God, that the gathering together into that unity of the sheaves of wheat will surely come to pass. And God, that your glory would be seen and that your name would be exalted and we would be blessed to be bound together with love to you and each other. God, in your name we pray it. God, finish what you started in us. Complete what it is we need. In your name we ask it. Amen and amen. All right, Lord bless you. Go in peace and we'll see you Wednesday night as the Lord permits.